We're thankful to be here tonight, and we'd like to add to the others who have already said how thankful we are for all that you've done for us. In all of these years, we've seen a lot of things happen in the years that we've been serving the Lord. And you know, this is really a unique church in lots of ways, but one of the ways is that God sends out missionaries, I believe, from here as He intended all the time. I'm not here tonight to criticize, but simply to just thank the Lord that we have a scripture way of sending out missionaries.
Amen.
From the local church. A lot of these para-church organizations, I don't believe are doing God's will. I've had a relationship with people that have gone out under organizations other than the local church, and some of them don't even attend church. Some of them go down there and they do missionary work, but they don't even attend a church themselves. And anyway, I just say that we have a very unique situation.
Amen.
Another thing that's such a blessing is that God has given us freedom because we go out under the local church. We're under the supervision, the authority of the church. But, you know, we have a lot of freedom. One of the fellows that supports Joy called the other day and said, you know, said, I'm amazed. Said, I'm just amazed that, you know, Joy felt like the Lord wouldn't go to Poland and said, he's going. Said, I know people that go into organizations and it takes them 3 or 4 years sometimes to get things ready to go. And we have a lot of freedom. We don't have a lot of red tape. We don't have a lot of programs that we have to go through and satisfy people that don't even know what the mission work is all about. It's a blessing. It really is. And we thank the Lord for you who are here at home that support us, that pray for us, that provide for us when we come back, the food and everything else. We just really are thankful to you for that. We don't say it enough. We don't say it often enough, but you can be assured we really do. And we pray for y'all. Nell and I pray for y'all faithfully. Not just as a church, but individually. We lift you up before the Lord. We're praying the Lord will use you in some marvelous way. You know, I'd like to share something tonight about what life is all about. I think that what life is really all about is just learning. Somebody told me a long time ago that if you're alive, you're learning. And if you quit learning, that you're dead. Some people probably ought to be buried. They've quit learning a long time ago. But I believe that learning is what life is all about. Everything that you do today, you had to learn. No one was born with an ability to speak or to eat or to anything else. Riding bicycles, driving cars, whatever it is that you do now, you had to learn. Well, I don't believe that the Christian life is any different. I've shared this with people who get discouraged when they get saved because they're not on the par with older Christians right away. And they get discouraged. And I explained to them that when they got saved, they were born again. And just like a baby is born at zero, they got into the Christian family at zero. And they have to learn all of these things. These things are not natural. And so we have to learn these things. And I believe that learning is what life is all about. I'd like to read a couple of verses tonight to start with. One's Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and the first 3 verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, 1 through 3. These are two men that I'm reading from who have come to the end of a life. And this is their summation. This is what they would say in summation of their life that they've lived. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I'm thankful that he's not speaking for all preachers. I've never heard a real preacher of the gospel say anything like this. But he says in verse 3, what profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? Solomon, when he came to the end of his life, the summation was that everything is a vanity. That there's really no use in living. What is it all about anyway? There's nothing really substantial to life. It's just a vapor that will vanish away. There's nothing of reality. There's nothing that's any good. Nothing that's beneficial. Well, we have another man, and this is Paul. And if you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, we'll see what Paul has to say. Now, Paul is coming to the end of his life. Let's see what Paul thinks about life. Paul says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I've lived my life, now I'm ready. I'm ready to go on. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But he doesn't say just for me. He goes in and adds, and not to me only, but to, unto all of them also that love is appearing. Now that doesn't mean that if you just long for the Lord to come, that this is going to be your reward. I think this is saying that if you long for the Lord's coming, that you have been faithful in doing what he said, so you won't be ashamed when he comes. You know, a lot of people don't want the Lord to come. I had a lady in my church when I was just a young preacher, and I preached on the second coming of the Lord. And after the meeting, she came around and said, do you really believe the Lord's coming soon? I said, I really do. She said, well, I don't want him to come. And I said, why? Well, she said, there's too many things that I want to do, and there's too many things that I haven't been able to finish. And she had a list of things. But you know, if we have been faithful to the Lord, we want the Lord to come.
Amen.
If we haven't been faithful, we're a little shaky about that. We're not so sure. We couldn't say with John, even so, come Lord Jesus. Because we know our house is not in order. We know things have not been tidied up. When Bill called and said they were going to be over, Brother Wheat, when he called and said they were going to be over tonight, Nelda got busy and cleaned up the house. We hadn't been so diligent. We've been there all week. Nobody's there but just Nelda and I. Mama Kay's gone. And so things, you know, had gotten a little bit out of shape. But Nelda got busy and cleaned up. She found he was coming. But, you know, if we really knew the Lord was coming, we'd probably live our life a little differently, wouldn't we?
Amen.
Well, he's coming. He's coming. You better believe it. He's coming. Now, if we have learned what if we have to learn everything, what was the difference in these two men? The difference was that one learned from one aspect or from one point of view and one learned from another point of view. I believe that really when it's all said and done, that our attitude towards life is a result of what we've learned. What have you learned? What have you learned, really? Have you learned anything? Have you become as a Christian just stagnant? Have you stood still? Are you still in the same place that you entered? Or have you learned something? Have you been progressing? And I'm not talking too much about this kind of knowing. I'm talking about a knowing of life. God tells us that we ought to learn. And one of the most amazing verses in all of the Bible, to me, it really is. When I saw this the first time, I was amazed. Look at Hebrews 5, chapter 8. Hebrews 5, chapter 8. You know, we know that Jesus Christ is God. But a lot of times what we fail to realize is that he was also man. He was 100% man, yet he was 100% God. But it really is difficult for us to understand his humanity. Because we think of him in his divinity. We think about his power and his knowledge and all of the other things, attributes that he has. But listen to this. Chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus was not born obedient. Jesus learned obedience. You know, I don't know whether you ever figured this out or not. It didn't take me very long. We have 10 children, and we raised a lot more than that. And it didn't take me very long to figure out that children are not born with good things. They're born with bad things. You don't have to teach children to lie or cheat or steal. They just somehow know how to do that just automatically. But they have to learn to say, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. They have to learn to be obedient. They have to learn to do what you say when you tell them to do it. Jesus was born and Jesus had to learn obedience. Now, do you think you're any different than the Lord Jesus? Do you think that just automatically you're going to be obedient to the Lord? Now, it says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, I'm not clear as to what that means, but I know that there's a price tag. We don't learn anything without paying a price. There's always a price tag. And Jesus learned obedience. Well, if he had to learn, then we need to learn. And God admonished us to learn. Look, if you will, in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look at 17, verse 18. I'm sorry. 17, verse 18. I can't blame it on Ella because she didn't make my notes. Used to, when she'd type my notes up, I'd always blame it on her. 17 verse 18, and this is talking about the king, and God says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. The king needed to learn. Even though he was a king, God said he needed to have a copy of the book before him and to read it and to learn from it. What about the people? Look in, if you will, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Now God says men need to learn, women need to learn, children need to learn, and the unborn generations that have not seen the things of God need to learn.
Amen.
And how are they going to learn? Now God says here, it's from His book. And you know what He mentions specifically? He says they need to learn to fear Me. Now we know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God.
Amen.
You know, the wisest man in the world that doesn't know how to fear God is an idiot.
That's right.
I don't care how many degrees a man may have. If he has not learned that God is sovereign and that he's in God's hands and one day he'll stand before God in judgment, then he is a fool.
Amen.
The first thing we need to learn is to fear God. And that means we better learn how to please God, how to do what He says. That's what it says, that we need to learn to do all the things that He's told us to do.
Amen.
But we have to learn those things. These things are not natural. It's not natural even for a believer to do the things that God has told us to do. The natural man is not inclined that way, and the spiritual man is so weak that the natural man many times wins the battle. You know, I hear people talking all the time about losing the battle, and we do too many times. But you know, I learned a long time ago that the spiritual man and the natural man are like two dogs, and if one of the dogs is bad and one of the dogs is good, and you know, you are not careful, you'll wind up having the bad dog always fighting the good dog and hurting him. But you know, I learned a long time ago that the ones who feed the dog are the ones that control the outcome of the fight. If you give the mean dog the food and you don't give the good dog the food, then the mean dog's going to win always when they have a fight. And you know what? Inside of me, there are two that are always battling. The spirit and the flesh. The old man and the new man. And I am the one who controls who eats. I decide who's going to get what he wants. Isn't that true? I determine what I'm going to read. I determine what I'm going to hear. I determine what I'm going to watch. I'm the one who determines. Now then, we need to learn to take away from the mean dog and give it to the good dog. Marty's shaking her head. She agrees. Only she thinks all dogs are good. But you know, we need to learn because it's not natural. If we just let things go naturally, the old man is always going to have his way, and we're going to find ourselves not pleasing God, and we're going to find ourselves one day at the judgment seat of Christ ashamed because we've not done what God told us to do. Well, there are some things we shouldn't learn. Now look at Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. You know, it's amazing God's insight. God knew. And God knows. He says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There are some things that God's people need not to learn. I mean, this is not just saying, well, I just won't fool with it. This means that we ought to set a standard and say, I am not going to learn these things. If you don't have something you stand for, then you're going to fall for anything. If you don't have some kind of convictions, you're going to find yourself straying all over the course of life. Now, we need to be wise. We don't need to be foolish. But we do need to have some convictions. And there are some things that we need not to learn. We need to set ourselves positively against learning some things. There are some things that we don't need to know. And you children, you listen to me tonight because you're learning right now things that you're going to carry with you for a long time. You need to learn not to lie. You know, lying is one of the hardest things in the world to quit. People that learn to lie when they're small and their homes have a problem the rest of their life telling lies. What about gossip? Gossip is a terrible thing. We need to learn not to gossip. There are some things that we need not to learn. What about drinking? You know, I'm amazed at how many of young people who are call themselves believers, and I don't doubt that they are believers just because they drink. But they've learned how to drink to be social, to be with the in crowd. What a terrible thing to learn. And you know, you have to learn how to drink. It's not natural to learn to drink. It's something you have to learn. Why learn something that later you're going to have a problem with? There's some things we need not to learn. And there's some things that we learn that are not very helpful. Look at Acts 7:22. It says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds." Now this mighty man Moses, who he thought now was ready to deliver his people, went out one day and he killed an Egyptian soldier and had to run for his life. All of the learning of Egypt, all of the wisdom and all of the things that he had accumulated while in the house of Pharaoh didn't provide him with what he needed to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, and I'm not against education. I'm not really so gung-ho about it, but I'm not against education. I went to school. I don't understand why you have to understand Greek and Hebrew when you're going to people that can't even read Spanish. Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of Egypt, and yet when he went to take his people out of Egypt, he failed completely. You know, God had a better school for Moses. You know where that school was? It's on the backside of the desert. The most unlikely place in the world for a man to learn how to be a pastor of people. He pastored sheep. You know, there is a great similarity. In fact, God calls the sheep, doesn't he? Sheep are dumb. So are God's people. I don't believe there's anybody dumber in the world than the people of God. They'll just follow anybody or anything. But you know, his education did not prepare him for God's work. The system of this world does not prepare men for serving God. Again, I repeat, I'm not against education, but be wary. Education is not what you need if it's this world's education. We need to be educated by God in His way, in His school.
That's right.
Well, what about Paul? Look at Acts chapter 22, and read in verse 3 and 4. "And I am barely a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you are all this day." Now, at the moment that God met Saul on the road to Tarsus, he was probably one of the most educated men of his day. And yet, what had it brought him? Absolutely nothing as far as spiritual things are concerned. He was lost and undone. He was zealous, but zealous for the wrong thing. He was an educated fool. He was fighting against God. He thought he was doing God's service, when all the time he was persecuting the Lord Jesus, the very God Himself. And you know, he got saved. Most marvelous conversion that ever took place.
Amen.
There's another one that was similar to that. And you know, you have to realize that God saves people. It's not people that save people. It bothers me. I know some young believers sometimes don't mean what they say, but they get up and they say, you know, "I saved 3 people this week." Well, you know, Billy Sunday one time, a guy came to him and said, you know, he was drunk, and he says, I'm that fellow that you saved last year. He said, yeah. I said, I probably did. He said, I don't think the Lord had anything to do with it. People don't save people. God saves people. And there's 2 instances where it's very clear. Very clear. Paul was not looking for God. And as far as we know, there was no one in his company that was a believer that could have told Paul and explained to Paul and got Paul saved. There was a thief on the cross one day that was cursing just like the other thief. And suddenly, something happened. Something happened to that thief. And he was converted. He recognized who he was. He recognized who Christ was. And he put them together and said, "Lord, have mercy on me."
Amen.
Now, that didn't happen because he went to Sunday school and learned a lesson. God did something in his life. I don't understand. Something happened that day on the road to Damascus. But until that time, Paul was an educated man. And he got saved that day. And you know what happened? He went then to the seminary. No, he didn't. It says he didn't even go down to see the apostles. It says that he went into the desert. He must have heard about the school that Moses went to and decided it's a pretty good school.
Amen.
He went to the same school that Moses went to, and look what happened to him. Now, I'm not saying that God didn't use Paul's education. I'm sure he did. But that's not what made Paul the apostle that he was. What made Paul the apostle that he was is that he went to God's school. He said, the things that I preach, I learn not from men.
That's right.
Well, there's some things that we learn that don't set us very well, but there are some things that we do need to learn. I think that Paul, look at Philippians 4:11. Paul confesses here that he learned. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul learned through living a life of difficulty to be content with whatever lot he had. You know how you come to that place? You don't learn that in seminary or Bible school or even in the college. You don't learn that in high school or junior school or elementary school. You know how you learn that? By living the life that God gave us to live. You know, I've learned that everything that I know how to do, it took me time. I'm not a real quick learner. I didn't learn to ride the bicycle the first time I got on it. I didn't learn how to drive a car the first time I got behind the wheel. I didn't learn Spanish, I guarantee you, the first time I tried to learn Spanish. After 3 months, I was so discouraged that if Nella had been discouraged like I was, we wouldn't be in Mexico. We've never made it. I thank God for a godly wife.
Amen.
After 3 months, I was like Marty. I was so dumb, I didn't think I'd learn it. I'm not a very fast learner, but I can learn, and so can you. You can learn. Paul, I am sure, had a marvelous life as a Pharisee. I'm sure that Paul, as he went down with the letters to Damascus, I'm sure that he also had a bag full of money that they'd given him to give him the best lodging in Damascus. I'm certain that Paul had learned to live well. But Paul learned how to live with very little. He learned how to do without. He could say then, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whatever my condition. That's some things we need to learn. We need to learn how to be happy and content and satisfied with the lot that God's given us. Well, you know, I think that this tells us that Paul had to learn some things, and we know he did. And I'm not going to read all these verses, but you know, in Romans chapter 7, Paul learned something else. And this, I think, is where we ought to start. Paul learned about himself. You know, Paul wasn't the perfect apostle when he started. He did a lot of things on his own. And so in chapter 7, he says, you know, at the end of the chapter, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I've tried to do a lot of things, and the will to do is with me, but the power to do it is not with me. I've tried and failed over and over and over again. Paul learned about himself. You know, I think that's what most people have never learned. They've never learned about themselves. Either they have too great an estimation of themselves or too small an estimation of themselves. Very few of us really think of ourselves as we ought to. But Paul learned about himself. He learned that he was a wretch, a miserable failure without the Lord. Then he learned about God himself. He says in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I believe. Paul learned to know God. He knew God in an intimate way. There's too many of God's people today that don't have an inkling about what it is to know the Lord. They know about the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. Have you learned to know the Lord? To recognize the Lord? To have fellowship with the Lord? After that, Paul learned something else. He learned that his miserable failure, his wretchedness, coupled with God's grace and God's power, that he could do anything. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He had to learn that. That wasn't that. He didn't find that out the first day he got saved. He had to go through some very difficult situation to come to the place where he could stand and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I appreciate Brent's and Joe's boldness and their wives' a willingness to go. I think that they're saying, in a sense, the same thing. I can, through Christ, do this too. He learned something else. He learned who's in control of things. He said in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God. Have you learned that yet? You know, I'll tell you again. This is not something you just automatically know. This comes from a difficult life of learning in God's school. Paul was in jail, and he said, this is not a bad thing at all. Because me being in jail has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, we look back now 2,000 years later and we realize what a marvelous thing that Paul got put in jail. Most of what we call the New Testament was written by Paul while he was in jail. Think what we wouldn't have if Paul had never been put in jail. Do all things work together for good? Yeah, Paul learned that. And Paul used it well. He also learned something else. That it didn't make any difference what the difficulties or who it was that were opposed to the gospel. Because he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Are you still fearful of what may happen? Because, you know, this is, these are opposed to us, or this situation. If God is for us, now it doesn't say that no one's going to be against it, but it's what difference does it make? You know, if there was really a character like John Bunyan, and he was on your side, would it make any difference who was mad at you? Of course not. If he was your friend, man, you just call him when you got in trouble. Well, we've got someone that's greater than John Bunyan. Paul Bunyan, I'm sorry. Using the wrong name. Paul Bunyan. John Bunyan also was a great man. I was thinking about Paul Bunyan. I was thinking about the guy that chopped the trees down. George Washington. No. Wrong tree. But have you learned this, that if God is on your side, that you don't have to fear who's against it?
Amen.
Have you learned that?
Amen.
Paul had to learn that. Well, what about worry? Do you worry? Paul had to learn that there was no need of worrying because God was going to take care of things. And so he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Amen.
Do you know that every minute you spend in worrying is a wasted minute? I don't know. There are some things that I've learned. Not much, but I've learned some. And that's one of the things I've learned. That worry just don't help. Worry will not help. Worry never helped anything yet. My dad was a worrier. And his dad was a worrier. I decided to break the cycle. I don't worry. When I go to bed at night, I say, Lord, you've been taking care of things for 6,000 years and longer than that because from eternity, and I'm going to bed. Nell hadn't learned that yet. She's learning, she says. She crossed more bridges the first few years that we married that we never got to. I can't believe how many bridges she would cross that we never even saw. She'd say, well, what if? What if? Well, can you lay aside your anxiety and your fears? And can you do like Paul said, and just don't be anxious for anything? Be careful for nothing. But everything. If you have a problem, commit it to God. You know what else he learned? He learned to be a servant. I guess we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. He learned to be a servant. And he learned from the best teacher of all. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We know the story, and we don't have to hear it again, how Jesus put the towel around him and got the basin of water and washed the disciples' feet. Took the lowest possible thing that could have ever been thought of by these apostles. They were horrified. Only Peter expressed himself, but they were all horrified that Jesus would get down and wash their feet. Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. I'm sorry, but I just can't do that. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. Have you learned to be a servant? That's not something that comes easy. And that's not something they teach in school, but that's what God teaches in His school. If you're going to be first, you got to be willing to be last. Have you learned to be a servant? What does Paul learn? Paul learned to obey. You know the first thing that Paul said? Very instructive. When God spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? And Paul asked, well, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Paul didn't say, well, you know, when is retirement? When do I go to heaven? When do I get all the benefits? You know what Paul said? What would you have me do? He learned that being saved implied responsibility.
Amen.
I heard a long time ago a preacher say, you know, I think we have the wrong order of things. People come down the aisle and the preacher shakes hands and take a seat, and for 40 years they just keep seated. They just stay seated. They don't realize that that's just the initial thing, just to give their name and tell who they are and what they're coming for. But you know, we have a lot of Christians that have taken a seat and never have gotten up. Paul knew in the very beginning that he, being saved, had a responsibility. He said, Lord, what would you have me do? And we find out later that he understood that it wasn't just whenever he decided, because that time that he was trying to go into Asia to preach, and the Lord hindered him, and the Spirit wouldn't suffer him to go, and he said he had a vision that night. It says the next morning, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. You know, obedience, to really be obedience, has to be immediate, doesn't it? Don't you get provoked, you that have children, when you tell your children to do something and 5 minutes later they're still sitting or watching TV or whatever they're doing, and you say, I thought I told, well, I'm going to do it. What do you mean you're going to do it? I mean, obedience implies now. Have you learned that being saved implies that you have responsibility? Have you learned obedience? Paul learned obedience. Paul also learned one other thing. He learned there's going to be a harvest. He said in Galatians, he said, whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Paul learned something that a lot of people haven't learned yet. A lot of people think, somehow, some other, that all the things they've failed to do and all the wrong things that they've done, somehow that God will just forget. But God doesn't forget. Because, you see, God's reward is not based upon His remembering. It's based upon a principle that what we sow, we reap. Paul learned there's going to be a harvest one day. And Paul labored that he might have a part in that harvest. Have you learned these lessons? You know, none of these things are easy. They're really not. It's not easy growing up. You know, I look at children now and I think, my, you know, they've got it made. They don't have to worry about paying bills. They don't have to worry about problems in the world. They don't have to worry about taxes. They don't have to worry about... There's so many things that children have to worry about. Growing up is tough. And growing up as Christians is difficult. It implies learning a lot of things. And we learn, in God's school at least, by what we suffer. Have you learned? My, I hope you have.